listen, mister.
Rick Schaefer on Morning Mayhem is brought to you by Edwards Food Giant. Edwards Food Giant, the meat people.
Good morning, Rick. Are you there, Rick? Going once. But just, I love it, Roger. Could start pushing. There he is. There he is. Start
okay.
There we go.
Where else would I go?
You know, Rick. Rick, yesterday, Roger. I think Rick, you texted me about 3 or 4 o'clock.
Yeah, and I said, why don't you come on with us? Yeah. You hear, you're talking about cross-promoting, have Randy on your show. You said, do you want me to come on? I said, yeah, come on. I never heard another thing.
I said I'd be glad to do it. This was like 3:30 or 4 o'clock. Yeah. Roger, I sit down, and the next thing I know, I don't wake up till 7 o'clock. I'm sorry, Rick.
I slept through our whole show.
I did. Yeah. What happened to Randy yesterday? Where was Randy?
Randy had some personal things he had to take care of, and he'll be back today.
Well, he got tired.
We saw him in the touchdown.
Yeah, maybe you wore him out. Yeah, maybe you wore him out.
It was great.
Rick, I get up at 3 o'clock, and when David texts me before 4 o'clock, I know that he's been up all night long. I go back and I troll his social so I see what he's been doing. And he texted me yesterday before 3 a.m. saying, hey, it's game day. We got to go. I knew homie was up for a while and he was going to be out. So I didn't hear from him either until late last night. I think he responded to one of my questions yesterday, this morning. So, yeah.
I would say that if he was up that early and he slept through our show, it's okay.
Yeah, man.
There are probably a lot of people that sleep through our show every day.
Well, it was a big day at the Touchdown Club yesterday. I thought that Ryan Silverfield did a great job. He made the point. It was his night time to Central Arkansas, and he understands how important Central Arkansas is. I thought the other thing, Ricky talked about, you know, wanting to make sure these players know the history of the program, his Friday night idea, where, I don't know if you heard that, Rick, where, I think it's a wonderful idea to invite former players to actually walk the field with the current players and just maybe – give a story about something they remember. So I like that. I like the toughness part he preached, and that may be the difference. That's the only thing, when you maybe don't have the most talented team, Rick, when you play hard and you're tough, he made the point, against Arkansas last year, what were we up to, 21 points? 20 points in the second half?
Yeah.
And they fought, didn't make any mistakes, fought back, and he said that's going to be one of the characteristics of this team. Which, again, when you're not the most talented, that is something that certainly you can hang your hat on to have a chance to be better and maybe win games.
Don't turn the ball over. You can be tough. You can be physical. You can be mentally strong. Don't turn the ball over. And, the thing I would have loved to have asked him sometime and didn't, I've only been to a couple of his press conferences because a lot of that's usually when we're on the air or I just don't get a chance to go. But the fact is, had Arkansas's turnover margin been reversed last year, he wouldn't be the coach.
Yeah, that's right.
The only reason Ryan Silverfield is the coach at Arkansas is because the Razorbacks turned the ball over so many dang times.
And he knows that. And he's been preaching it, ad nauseum for every day
Every day. And I think that's the biggest thing. So, yes, I think they'll be physically tough. And I know they have practiced in some heat, probably – as hot here as it's been since the 1980 summer, which was absolutely brutal. But so they've practiced in that, and I think that's good, and that's going to make them tougher. Just hang on to the ball. You think about it, you only get so many possessions. And if you don't turn the ball over, then those possessions, you at least have a chance to have success. Plus, you don't put your defense in a bad position. That's the other thing. People last year, Arkansas's defense wasn't very good. Well, how many times were they put in bad positions because Arkansas turned the ball over? And so we've been talking about that all summer. That's the biggest thing. Just don't turn the ball over. They may not be as talented. Trey Biddy likes the offensive line. If the offensive line is really good, and let's hope it is, you can protect a young quarterback who may not be quite ready to be a superstar yet, but he doesn't have to be if your line will protect him and if you can get the ball to the right people. So I like Ryan Silverfield. I think he's really good for he is saying the right things. I think he's not only saying them, he's doing them. It's one thing to say them. It's something else to do them. And he's doing them. And I guess we're going to find out pretty soon how successful he's been with. And the other thing is, most of these guys, 80% of the players, they weren't here last year anyway.
Right.
So they don't remember any of that stuff. And some of them played on some pretty good teams. We were talking yesterday about some of the guys that have transferred in from one of the offensive linemen that's probably going to start, played at Virginia last year. And he was at Alabama before that. You got transfer from USC. USC won 9 games last year. You got 2 transfers from teams that were in the playoff. So those guys know what it's like to win, and let's hope that transfers to Arkansas.
Talk about Rick Schaefer, brought to you by Edwards Food Giant. Also yesterday, in addition, I thought Coach Sinfield did a really good job with everybody there, and it was a full house, and he saw the people. One of the things Rick did, he wanted to know who all was coming. He asked if Kyle said, hey, can you ask Basil to let me know who all is going to be there, because he knows it's important for him to continue to connect to people around the state. Yeah. And I appreciate that. We've never had a coach do that, and I thought that's a great attention to detail. We did announce also yesterday, Rick, that the last group, and you've been in part of that discussion, the last meeting that was had not been announced. We announced it yesterday, and it's the was the 42nd president of the United States, Bill Clinton, on stage with Jerry Jones on October 12th. And you know, it's interesting. I was telling people, a lot of people don't get the whole Clinton angle, and so, but I reminded yesterday, I made a post. Rick, I remember when I was playing for the Hogs, I used to look back, especially at War Memorial, Roger, where you could easy to see. I would look behind us, and there would be President Clinton. Well, at the time, Governor Clinton, at all the games. So he was a regular attendee of the games. He loved sports. He, you know, obviously saw what he did with Nolan. And you think of the teams he's hosted at the White House. I think he hosted 6 Super Bowl champions, teams and coaches. 3 of those are Cowboys. I think he had 6 or 8 national champion football teams, and the guy loves and understands football. And so anyway, so I was going to give you a chance maybe to go back thinking back, you know, your experience when you were at SID, when Clint was governor. Do you recall any stories at all from when you were there when he was governor?
I remember a time when I think it was Wilson Matthews was speaking to a group in Little Rock, and I was just kind of sitting at the back, and there was Clinton. He was the governor of Arkansas. He had blue jeans on, and he had his feet, legs up on the table. You know, he had propped up on the table, leaning back in a chair. And I'm thinking, isn't that something? This guy's the governor of Arkansas, and he's doing this. He was the attorney general in Arkansas when Lou Holtz suspended 3 players before the Orange Bowl game. And those 3 players tried to make a legal case out of it. And he's the one that stood up for Coach Holtz and said no.
Bill Clinton did.
Yes, he was he was the Attorney General of Arkansas at that time.
There's a story out there. By the way, real quick, there's a story out there. Somebody told me yesterday that apparently Clinton got on the phone and talked with Lou was really really distressed about dealing with it. And I don't know if the term was quit, but just said – anyway, but Clinton, like you said, was very important at that time. Of dealing with Coach Holtz to feel good about the situation. Because you know who the lawyer was for the players?
For the player, hold on.
You remember his name?
Was it Walker?
John Walker.
Oh, cool.
Who's the famous civil rights attorney here in Arkansas, and that was a big deal at the time. That was a
– Yeah. Well, there was the untold story of the Orange Bowl is that because all 3 players that were suspended were black, there was the thought that black players at Arkansas wouldn't play in that game.
Yeah. I remember
I can remember being down in the Broyles Center and Harold Horton coming and saying, this guy's going to play. And well, they all ended up playing, except for the 3 that were suspended. But, that's any time any athletic department faces anything that's racial, everybody panics because that's – You never want that. You want the unity,
especially at that time. That was 77. Not far
Arkansas
removed.
Had only been integrated
that's,
8
that's,
years.
That's right. Not far removed for the first right. time, first year of that.
So
yeah.
Anyway, all that went on, and yes. Now the other thing I remember with Clinton was he and Eddie Sutton were tight.
Yeah.
And he would go with Sutton on some recruiting visits.
Is that right?
Arkansas. Yes.
Wow. Didn't know that. I've never heard that one before.
The Arkansas State fans, they were hot. And so he had to quit doing that. And I'll give you one more Bill Clinton story. Yeah. Arkansas is getting ready to play UNLV in the big basketball game at Barnhill Arena. UNLV was number 1. Arkansas was number 2. Jim Nance was doing the game for CBS. Jim Nance, the night before, and I don't grasp this, but this is the truth. He said the night before there were people banging on his hotel door, keeping him up all night, harassing him. I'm thinking, really? Jim Nance, who's one of the most polite human beings you'll ever know, nice guy. So why these people were doing it, I don't know. So he gets to the game the next day, and he's, you know, out there, and they're getting ready to do the, you know, you do the pregame stuff and that's taped before you actually come on the air. And he says, here comes this guy walking straight to me, and he's wearing blue jeans, and he's thinking, oh, my gosh, who is this guy? And he walked up to him and said, hi, I'm Governor Bill Clinton. I just want to welcome you to the state of Arkansas. So Jim Nance didn't know who he was. He didn't know if he was about to be accosted again. And instead, here's the governor that said, we're really glad to have you. Welcome to the state of Arkansas. So those were my best Bill Clinton stories.
Yeah, I think we got Justin Moore, Raj. See if Justin's on the line. JM, are you there?
Yeah, good morning. How are y'all?
Good, doing great, Justin. Doing great. Yeah, and it's funny. I think I think different presidents in the White House are different. Most all have been sports fans. I'm trying to think. I can think of a president who hadn't.
George W. Bush.
Yeah,
he
owned the
Rangers.
Yeah.
His father was a big baseball fan, and one of his last public appearances was at an Astros game. George H.W. Bush. Donald Trump is a huge athletic fan.
Sure.
He's the first sitting president to ever go to a Super Bowl?
How about that?
That is really hard to believe.
Here's something crazy. So we've got Doug Flutie coming. And so in reading some prep for that, Doug Flutie received the highest rookie contract in the history of any sport. And it was given to him by Donald Trump with the USFL Generals.
He owned a USFL
team.
Yeah,
the highest contract in the history of all sports. It was a rookie deal back then. So anyway,
forgotten that.
And then you think of the...
I guess every president, just thinking in my head while you guys are talking, the only thing, nothing reeks of sports with Biden. Nothing comes to mind. You got Trump, you've got Bush, you've got Clinton. I don't know about
Biden's
Daddy.
Biden's an Eagles fan. I know.
Pardon?
Reagan
Biden's
was
an Eagles fan.
Well, whatever. But yeah. I don't remember nothing. Nothing just jumps out that he was at any event during any of that time.
I don't know
about Daddy Bush either. Daddy Bush didn't jump out.
He wasn't anywhere.
Daddy Bush loved baseball.
Okay.
But think about this, guys. I think it's 13 U.S. presidents have thrown out the first pitch at a Major League Baseball game. And do you know why they have a seventh inning stretch in baseball?
You're kidding me. It has to do with the president?
Yes. In the seventh inning stretch, William Howard Taft was president, and in 1913, he was at a Washington Senators game. You know, Washington had the Senators for years. Mm-hmm. He was at a Washington Senators game. He was kind of a heavy guy, and so in the middle of the seventh inning, he stood up. So all the people around him thought he was leaving. So they all stood up, too. And that has been the start of the seventh inning stretch.
I never knew that. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't realize that. You know, again, you think about Clinton, too. When Clinton was in the White House, funny about these two guys speaking, he welcomed Jerry three times to the White House because they won three Super Bowls. And Emmitt, matter of fact, they gave an Emmitt Smith jersey to him. I got a picture of that. And so I just think it's sort of fascinating. We forget sometimes.
Give you another one.
What's that?
You know what he was at? You know what game he was at? 1995, Cal Ripken's 2,131st game to break Lou Gehrig's record. He was at the mic.
Yeah,
he was on the telecast.
Yeah.
They were interviewing him on the telecast when Ripken hit a home run. So he was there.
Yeah. It's just, again, sports in this country are so important. And you go
Very
back
important.
To who was the president? It was Roosevelt back in the early 1900s when players were dying on the college
Teddy
football
Roosevelt.
Field.
Teddy,
yeah. And he called everybody in, you know, just like sort of Trump did with this, the NIL and all the stuff. I just think it's going to be a fascinating deal. Now, listen, one of my questions now is going to be, you know, President Clinton, tell me about, you know, Lou Holtz in that situation in the Orange Bowl that you were involved behind the scenes.
Yeah, I think that's a great question, and you'll get a much better answer than you just got a little glimpse from me.
Yeah,
you'll get a lot more details from him, I think.
The other thing, Justin, we were talking, and Rick can get involved, we were just talking about if you did a Mount Rushmore of Arkansans, and we briefly did this the other day, who would the four be? And we were saying, you got to put Clinton on there because he's obviously the only president we've had from this state.
This would be preference.
Frank Broyles would definitely be.
You got to put the president of the United States.
You could make an argument that Frank Broyles was the most influential
man that
ever lived in Arkansas.
So Sam Walton.
Yeah, we're going bigger than just the state.
Yeah, so.
With all due respect to Frank, so right now we're looking at Sam Walton, Bill Clinton, Jerry Jones, because of the worldwide stuff, and we threw in Johnny Cash.
And somebody mentioned Johnny Cash. If you think of an international impact, you've become so big, even though now you're right, Roger, not just in Arkansas, but when you've become on the biggest level of what you've done.
You cannot leave Frank Broyles off the list. He also did ABC football for 9 years.
Yeah, we're not saying he's not.
He's not on this one of ours. It's just mine.
You guys are wrong.
I don't know. No, it can't be wrong. It's my opinion.
If you do not have Frank Broyles on your list of four people that have been the most influential in the history of Arkansas.
Didn't say Arkansas.
Yeah, you can make the argument.
We're going bigger.
But it is coming from Arkansas, so it would be, obviously it would, if you looked at, because you only got so many, you only have so many options. You got four, so you only can go so many places. So Sam,
I love Frank Broyles.
So Sam Walton's got to be on there.
I told you, if his daughter and granddaughter were here, I'd go.
But Sam Walton wasn't born in Arkansas.
No, it's not about that. But he was
Coach Broyles.
But the impact they had in the state. That's right.
Neither was Jerry Jones.
If you go to Maine and you show a picture of Johnny Cash and you show a picture of Frank Broyles, they can probably tell you who Johnny Cash is. They may not be able to tell you who Frank Broyles was.
Well, during his heyday, they could have told you who Frank Broyles was because he was who you watched every Saturday.
But who else would you put on there? Who else is deserving? If you think of somebody,
if you want to put five, I'm okay with that. But who else would you? I don't know. I think you've probably named the most influential. I don't know if there's any other.
Well, again, I don't know if the word is influential or because the most notable. Roger,
I think is the word.
At his peak of power, Senator Fulbright would have been up there. Sure. At his peak of power.
Sure.
Because he was well-known
McClellan.
Senator.
You throw McClellan in there, peak of power.
It almost sounds like you are saying most famous, too.
In a sense. Well, in a sense, you're right. If you achieved Justin,
that's what you know him if you're in Maine. Famous for that.
I think that comes hand in hand with it. If you've achieved so much success that you're known worldwide, that was.
What about the Rockefellers? Yeah. Aren't they Arkansas?
No.
Well, he moved here from New York and did great things here for a while, but he's not really considered Arkansas. If you're making it be an Arkansas Mount Rushmore, but it's still those are still very we talk about Jerry Jones too. Jerry, we said this. Jerry, other than Al Davis, is the most influential owner in the history of American sports in terms of especially NFL. He broke down the old model.
You can look at what Branch Rickey did if you want to go back influential and what he did. If you go back that far.
Dr. Buss with the Lakers.
Jerry Buss.
Branch Rickey wasn't an owner.
Okay.
He was a general manager.
Right. Well, the other is, though, if you look at the biggest sport in the world, in America, is football. So Jerry.
Today it is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And one of the reasons it is because of Jerry Jones. The TV deals that he's done. He broke down the old structure of not letting teams do their individual sponsorship. So he's been one of the most influential owners in the history of sports. Of course, now he's got the most valuable sports franchise in the history of sports. I mean, in the history of sports, $15 billion. There's not anything close. So I'm not sure. I said Al Davis because Al Davis was a maverick. He went against the traditions, the norms. And then Jerry's personality. Jerry's the only guy who's got radio show. He's got his own TV show, whether you like it or not,
Here's what I wish you could ask Jerry, but you're not going to, doesn't have time, is what would you tell the baseball owners to tell them to keep baseball on the field and not be idiots about having a lockout? I wish maybe privately you could ask him that. I'd be really curious what his answer is because he is a guy that has had revolutionary ideas and somehow gets the other owners to agree with him. And I look at baseball right now, my favorite sport. I just got back from Baltimore, and I'm going to go one more time before the year's over because it's addictive to me. And these guys are talking about they want salary cap, and if they don't get it, they're going to lock them out. And I'm thinking, really? That is so stupid. Attendance is up. Viewership is up. Salaries are up. Everything is up, and they're talking about shutting it down. I wish Jerry Jones could talk to those guys and tell them how absolutely asinine that is.
Yeah, I mean, he's a very dynamic guy. Again, that's why we just talk about Mount Rushmore's, Justin. You when you can go in there and take a
break. But ask him who he talked to before every major decision he ever made. He talked to Frank Broyles.
I know, yeah, there's no question Frank was – we made the comment. We thought Frank was – I mean, Frank influenced our state. Frank made our state nationally known, especially after coming out the 57 situation at Central. Yeah. Frank turned the attention and said, we can be respected and we're not all bad like we were during the times at Central High. And it gave us the pride in what we did. And that's part of what's going to be discussed.
Yes. When beat Texas four times in the 60s when Texas and Alabama were the winningest programs in football. And Arkansas was the third winningest during
that
decade.
Nobody's discounting that. There's a Broyles Award. So obviously there is
that's
something
right.
to that. But
is there a Johnny Cash Award?
There's a statue in Washington.
Yeah, there's a statue in the
DDR. Wonderful, but is there a Johnny Cash Award? No.
Well, Rick, you and I will agree to disagree on this one.
I don't have a problem with Johnny Cash. Yeah, if you're trying to sort of be broad.
I'm okay with that. Like Ring of Fire is one of my favorite songs. And, in fact, I heard it played on the radio the other day. And, Justin, maybe you can confirm this. The guy introduced it as saying this was voted the number one country song of all time.
Ring of Fire
by Johnny Cash. Now, that's how it was introduced on radio. So, Justin, you may have to research that, but because there's a lot of great country songs. That's one
iconic.
Of the first records I ever bought.
He's
yeah,
iconic.
That is a good one, but I would not put it in the – I wouldn't put it in that echelon.
Right, Roger. Mount Rushmore, country music's greatest songs.
Yep.
Go, Justin.
You
may not, but I'm talking about whoever voted on this thing. So that, you didn't vote and I didn't vote. I don't know who voted.
Yeah, I don't know. Interesting, though.
Yeah, thanks, thanks, Rick. Appreciate you. Appreciate Edwards Food Giant.
Thank you, Ricky.
Yeah, always love this spirited debate.
Roger, I hope you go to sleep tonight and have dreams of Frank Broyles.
I love Frank Broyles. I told you, I'm a suckwad when it comes to if his daughter and wife were and granddaughter were here, I'd probably go that. But on the Jerry Jones became worldwide when he bought
Jerry
the Cowboys. Then he took it to another level. I love Frank can't be on this one. He's on one.
I'm not.
Rick,
I think he could be. He would probably be on mine. He would probably be on my personal.
He may be on mine. But when it comes to the worldwide influence and all that, that's the one that this one was on. And some may double on that one. And Frank is going to be on one. Listen. I've got the Mount Rushmore where I put Rick on one of them.
Rick is on there.
You do have a warped sense of.
I'm telling you right now, when it comes to Razorback influencers and radio icons, you're on that Mount Rushmore. Yeah. Rick, don't you take my blessing away.
All right, Rick. Thanks, buddy.
Y'all have a super day.
Thanks, Rick. You too. Bye. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks to Edwards Food Giant, the meat people all across the state of Arkansas.